and welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast. It's Ben here, because due to unforeseen circumstances, Trev couldn't join me for the recording of the podcast this week. However, fear not, we've gone to great lengths to make sure you still have a podcast to listen to. And when I say we, I mean Trev. So, here's a selection of our highlights from our days back at Croydon Radio many moons ago. So sit back and enjoy some vintage Trev and Ben.
One weird thing I noticed this week, the big issue is now...
Bless you.
Thank you. We're on fire this morning, aren't we, Ben?
Sorry.
It's amazing. You can now buy the big issue.
Bless you. Oh, sorry.
With chip and pin.
I thought you were going to say chips and peas.
No, chip and pin. I think that's an extraordinary development. What homeless person has got a chip and pin machine at hand?
Honestly. I always thought it was sort of whatever spare change you've got, you give and you get a copy of the big issue.
Oh, no, Ben. No. It's a... What is it? Is it 150 these days?
I thought it was a quid.
Oh, it might be a quid. I'm just... that shows how long it is since I bought one. I was assuming
it... Are you bartering with people selling the big issue?
Yeah. Oh, it's a dreadful mag. I've only ever bought it a couple of times. And just because, you know, when you feel sorry and you sort of feel guilty...
Nope.
...that you've walked past 17 big issue sellers and you've not bought one. I quite like the idea of it being available on chip and pin.
No, because that's one less excuse I've got to not buy it.
There's one less excuse for you to be charitable.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
No, there's no way I come out of this sounding good.
No, okay, go on.
I don't want it.
You don't want it?
It's a terrible, terrible magazine.
But it's helped thousands of people, Ben.
If they were selling Zoo or Nuts.
Yeah.
Then, yeah.
Or Penthouse.
Yeah. Bit of Razzle.
Yeah. To be honest, I think anyone that's selling that sort of magazine on the street, you don't want anything to do with. I mean, if someone comes up to you and goes, you want a copy of Playboy? You're not going to go, oh, yes, I'd very much like to have that copy of Playboy off of you.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Whereas if someone says, oh, here's...
Pages stuck together.
Here's the big issue, then you might think about that.
Mm. What is in the big issue? What is it?
Well, it's like a lifestyle.
Lifestyle?
Yeah. You know, how to create a mansion out of 6 cardboard boxes.
Right. Okay. Okay.
No, not really. No, they have sort of... It's like Hello for the homeless.
Who'd have thought you would be the person to say the worst thing ever on our show?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Hello for the homeless.
Yes.
Oh, that's terrible. I really apologise to anyone listening. Oh, man. Is it? I don't care. It's funny.
I don't know. I bought a couple of issues, but I've never read it. I've sort of got it home and it's gone straight in the recycling.
Oh, man.
Oh, we are coming across as two very nasty people.
Yeah, well,
we?
One of us is, yeah.
One of us is. Yeah, there's you saying, well, I've never bought it. I'm not interested. I don't want it.
Okay.
I'd rather it was an edition of Razzle.
I didn't say hello for the homeless.
I love the fact that we're just still calling adult magazines Razzle. Does that still exist?
No. Well,
Razzle?
Well, we've got the internet. We don't need to buy magazines anymore.
I had a row.
You had a row?
With the missus during the week.
Are you sure this is something you want to be sharing?
Oh, I had a few rows with her, but this is the one I'll share. I was trying to get dressed.
Mm.
I had a lovely bath.
Yes.
And then I got dressed and I was looking for some socks.
Had she run you a lovely bath? Did it start as a romantic gesture? She lit candles. There was scented bath bombs going off.
I'm married.
There was effervescing.
No. None of that. No.
Oh, okay.
I was looking for a pair of socks.
Yeah.
And I was rummaging through and I was talking to her. I said, is this the sock bag we've got here? The bag of socks? And she said, yeah, that's it.
The bag of socks.
Yeah, she's been doing...
You just have a bag of socks.
She's been doing some washing recently and we have a bag of socks.
She's been doing some washing recently.
Yeah.
So this is not something she normally does. Or have you now after, what is it, 2 years of marriage, you've finally broken her. She's finally doing your washing because she can't stand the stench anymore.
So I'm going through the socks and I find black sock. Jackpot. One black sock.
Excellent.
Then I'm digging through, I've got green sock, orange sock, multicoloured sock.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, I said, this is the sock thing, isn't it? And she said, yes, that is the bag of socks.
Well, considering you have found nothing else other than socks in the bag at this stage, surely that was a question, an unnecessary question.
Eventually, I lost my rag because I couldn't find another...
lost your sock.
I couldn't find another black sock. And I said, where the hell... Well, I didn't say where the hell, but I have to clean this up for the radio. Where the hell are all the matching socks? Why do we have nothing but odd socks? And after about 5 minutes of me searching
Sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead.
Were you specifically after the black socks, or were there just no pairs available at all?
I'm not a fussy man. I was looking for just a matching pair of socks.
And there was no matching pairs whatsoever?
Not at all. And then after about 5 minutes of me talking to her about the socks...
Is this the left sock bag? Is there another right sock bag?
I was... looking for socks. She knew what I was looking for. About 5 minutes later, she pipes up and says, oh yeah, that is the odd sock bag.
The odd sock bag.
Oh, thank God you reacted that way. I thought, why the hell do we have a bag of odd socks? Who is that for?
I don't know.
And she just, I'm glad you reacted like that. I thought you thought I'd be unreasonable there. So I then, in a fit of temper, I just threw the bag and emptied it all over the floor because I had little temper.
What petulance.
A little temper tantrum. Because
I'm on her side all of a sudden.
I thought, why are we keeping a bag of odd socks? And she said,
in case they turn up.
That's it. She said, in case the other ones turn up, yeah, I can then match them together. And it's like
where
running.
Where are they going to be?
I don't know. Because if they're not in the washing machine, then they're lost.
Has she got another odd sock bag somewhere that's been lost?
Presumably, because I was searching through it for at least 5 minutes. The amount of odd socks in my house is untrue. It was like we're running some sort of sock orphanage. Honestly, it was unbelievable. But I felt a bit petulant for dumping them all over the floor.
Did you pick them up?
No, I think I dumped them all over the floor, threw the plastic bag on the floor, and then kicked it through the air and stormed out.
I think kicking an empty plastic bag.
It didn't have the gravitas.
That's not getting any anger out, is it?
No.
That's the least effective way of releasing any anger.
Yeah.
Kicking a plastic bag.
But honestly, I'm glad you reacted like that, because I thought you'd think I was unreasonable, but keeping a bag of odd socks is insanity, isn't it?
It's look, I know your wife very well, and I don't want to speak out of but that's lunacy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Throw them out, for God's sake.
I've been storing that up all week, waiting for backup, and finally I've got it.
The thing about socks, though, Ben, here's a little lesson for you. Do what I do. I don't buy any of my own socks. Socks have to last me 12 months, because I always get them for Christmas. And I ask for them now.
Yeah?
Yeah, people know. The people that buy me the socks know that's their job at Christmas, to get me some socks. They'll get me, say, 10 pairs.
Yeah.
All exactly the same.
Plain black?
Maybe have a logo on, but they're all the same.
Okay.
But they're all black with a little logo on, if not plain black. Doesn't matter then. Doesn't matter. Mix and match as much as you like. It really doesn't matter. I think that's the way forward. Why would you want to worry about finding pairs when that's the last thing you need to do in the morning, especially in a house where you've got an odd sock bag?
I know.
That's not going to make your morning any easier.
I mean, colourful socks are fun, but that way madness lies.
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a bit thick.
Are you?
I am a little bit thick. And this week I've realised I'm thicker than I thought I was.
What happened?
Well, two things this week. First of all, I was doing a little bit of DIY. Now, I'm not very good at DIY.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm rubbish at it. It's a bit of work in the garden, right? As you know, I'm trying to get my garden looking nice. You know, I've trimmed all my bushes.
Listen, I hate to beat this drum every week, but you've been talking about doing your garden up for weeks and weeks.
It's a slow process. Because I tell you why it's a slow process, Ben, and this is an issue I'm taking with... I don't know to take this up with God, I presume. Stop things growing.
Yeah, but...
Cutting them down, and then they're growing again.
What listeners won't be familiar with is that you have about square feet
of garden.
That's
my front garden. I'm talking about my back garden.
So am I.
That's a huge thing.
It's tiny.
It's a huge garden.
Ugh.
It takes at least three strides to get to the end of the garden. It's huge.
Right? What are you doing? You're cutting it with scissors or something? What are you doing?
Look, there's a method to my madness, right? So anyway. No, it's the weeds. As I say, they keep growing. The more I pull them out, the more they grow. I hate them. I'm just concrete the lot. Fed up with it. Anyway, so I'm putting in some wooden, I don't know what you call it, surround. You know those little log things to create a barrier for the flower bed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
just
right?
About it.
So my dad said, well, what you need to do really is to make them work properly. Because I'm rubbish, they always turn to my dad. How do these things work, Dad? How do I put these in? He said, well, create a couple of spikes each end and use those spikes as sacrificial bits of wood. He used that phrase. You know, it's a very religious thing. I had to do a little prayer when I was doing it. He said, so they go into the ground, so they can rot because you can replace those, but you don't want to have to spend money replacing the actual decorative bits, right?
Right.
He said, well, what I'd do is I would put some wood preserver on those bits. So I had to create 8 little spikes, and I'm dutifully painting them all with the wood preserver, right? I've done all that, and then I had a little bit of an issue putting them in, right? So I had to phone my dad and say, can you give us a hand? You know, I'm making a mess of this. So he comes around, we do it, we put them in. Oh, it looks lovely. Oh, it looks lovely, Ben. I'd imagine Adam Titchmarsh will be around before you know it. Oh, it's a lovely garden, right? I don't know why it sounds like Alan Bennett.
Why is he so campy?
It's Adam Bennett. Alan Bennett and Alan Titchmarsh, but all the Alans, they're all coming round. And Alan Key, he's coming round. Little joke there for DIY people. Thank you.
And he's lost on me.
So anyway, right? And then we get it all there. It's looking lovely. And then as he's leaving, he said, oh, you might want to put some wood preserver on the main bits of wood. You don't want them rotting in the rain.
Right.
I said, well, that's all right, because I've got this huge pot of stuff here. I've got loads. He went, that's wood stainer.
Oh.
He went in the shed, brought out this huge pot that's got huge writing on it. Wood preserver!
So does that mean everything you've already done is...
It's null and void.
Oh.
I mean, it looks nice. It's stained beautifully. I mean, it's almost like a Queen Anne chest. It's wonderful.
So did you have to dig it all up again?
I haven't bothered.
No.
I haven't bothered. Let it rot. That's what I say. But how... I mean, how moronic. It's quite straightforward. I don't know. My mum said to me, she said, surely you would know the difference between preserver and stainer. You know, it was a mistake. You just picked up the wrong pot. I said, no, I wouldn't know. If I picked up the pot and it said stainer, I'd assume that was preserver.
Yeah.
Yeah. She looked at me as if to say, I bore you. How can you be so thick?
Oh,
so that was thickness number one this week. I felt humiliated, by the way. I really did, because I thought I'd done a good job
up
to that point. I thought, you know, I'm useless at this, but I'm making progress on my own here.
Well, I told you about the time I was tasked to paint a room.
Yeah, you messed that up somehow, didn't you?
I painted the ceiling colour on the walls.
That's right. Yeah, that's a bit thick, isn't it?
It was a bit thick.
And then the other thick thing I did this week was... I've been doing a lovely bit of work. I don't know whether I should boast about this or not. Should I boast about it?
If you want.
I'm very proud about it.
Go on.
I've been producing Top of the Pops for the BBC, right?
But for anyone who's listening, really, he has been.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. And it means I've obviously had to listen to the charts. And I've not done that for years. There's a lot of rubbish out there, Ben.
No, surely you can't say that.
No, there's some good stuff. I've discovered a few good songs, but oh god, there's a lot of rubbish.
You're going to lose the job now.
Oh god.
The Top of the Pops people will be livid.
Yeah, well, I think they must agree. Surely. Surely nobody's sitting there. No, this is DJ Khaled. I'm sorry. Not for me. If you like it, fair enough. And he's quite high in the charts. There's a lot of people who obviously like him, but oh, dreadful. Anyway, so I'm putting it together, and as it's my first week on my own, because last week I had help. So this week, but as it's the BBC, everything has to be signed off, because, you know, post Saxgate, everything has to be, you know, cleared for broadcast. So I send it off to be okayed, and I get a phone call about 10 minutes later. They said, sounds all right, Trev, sounds great, it's coming together nicely, just a couple of songs in the wrong order.
Ooh, and which is quite important when you're doing the charts.
I said, what? He said, yeah, no, in the album bit, you've got two the wrong way around. So we go from number 40 to number 17, then to number 23. And I said, oh, but that was the order on the script that I was sent. And he said, yeah, but I mean, the script sent you early in the week and the chart positions have changed. And I thought, oh, it's a countdown, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of in the name, isn't it? It's the Top of the Pops countdown. You don't sort of meddle about with that. Oh, God, I felt stupid. Because the fact that I defended myself to start with, the fact that I said, no, it was on the script like that. It's not my fault. It was on the script like that. And then afterwards, when I realised, I thought, oh, you idiot.
To be honest, I think if it makes you feel any better, I think I'd have done exactly the same thing.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you think you would have done
the
that?
Script to the letter and probably then argued the toss, yeah.
Excellent. So it's not just me?
No.
You're as thick as I am.
I think so.
That bodes well, doesn't it?
I had a chat with the wife this week. We are big fans of Italian food.
Right, okay.
And there is an amazing, amazing restaurant in Croydon called Bugatti's.
That sounds lovely.
It's the bee's knees.
Are you on some sort of bung for mentioning them and how good they are?
No.
Are they giving you sort of a free pasta dish every week if you mention it?
I wish. If they want to, I'll happily be in contact with you and we can come to some sort of arrangement and I will plug Bugatti's. Anyway, bruschetta. Are you a fan of bruschetta?
Is that a bready type thing?
It is.
Yeah.
And it is schetta, not schetta.
Really?
Yeah, it is a hard K.
Can I just say that yesterday I had a little I took the mickey out of my mum. Because we were having a barbecue last night, and she said, "Oh, I've made some kebabs, some chicken pepper and chorizo."
Oh, no, but that is a word not to be mocked. Because I bet you don't know how to say that.
Well, I said, she said, "Well, how do you say it then?" And I said, "Well, I say it chorizo, but I think
it's wrong.
Should be chorizo.
It is
chorizo.
If you ever hear Jamie Oliver saying it, it's,
yeah, but he says everything like that.
It's chorizo.
Yeah, but he can't say anything without doing that, can he? I mean, he say sausages.
I don't know.
He's going to have some sausages and some pasta. I mean, he says everything like that.
His tongue's too big for his mouth, or what? But it's,
I reckon it's because people just keep punching him. I reckon he's, his tongue is just complete. Just stop saying pucker and stop going on about chicken twizzlers.
It's turkey twizzlers.
Turkey twizzlers.
It's chorizo.
Chorizo and turkey twizzlers.
Yeah. Just think of Chris Eubank whenever you say chorizo.
Anyway, I had to go out for saying chorizo.
So I wanted to rip off their recipe.
Okay.
Basically, the wife's got champagne taste and I've got beer money. So she wanted bruschetta Bugatti, yeah. Which is the Bugatti's bruschetta, as if not clear by the title.
Yes. So that's what it says on the tin.
I said, oh, well, I can knock that up. I can make you a lovely bruschetta. And she said, yes, you do make a nice bruschetta, yeah. But Bugatti's,
I mean, it's basically garlic butter on toast, isn't it? With a bit of, anyone can make
outrageous.
It. Anyone can make it. It's easy.
No wonder.
Bit of basil or parsley or something.
So I said, I can put together a nice. And she said, yes, I know you can, but, you know, Bugatti's is...
She's just, not confident of your abilities, is she?
She's not
made
at all.
This very clear early on.
She said, it's just that much nicer. It's just that much better because it's Bugatti's. And I said, fine. And then I thought, right, how can I get the twist? How can I get the edge that Bugatti's have on me?
You're not getting it, are you?
And I thought, well, what I can do is I can try and get the recipe. So I thought, I'll just phone up and ask for the recipe. And she said, well, they're not going to hand over their award-winning. I don't know if it's award-winning. It should be.
Well, it should be.
It's that good.
Well, what's this place called again, man?
Bugatti.
It should be award-winning.
Again,
I'm hoping I'll get some free pasta now.
With chorizo or not?
Let's hope so.
So I thought, well, obviously she's got a point. They're not just going to cough up the recipe.
That would be a very odd phone call to make as well, wouldn't it?
Well, then I started to improvise. I started thinking, well, how can I get this off of them?
Did you dress up as a delivery man and go into their kitchen?
I considered getting a job there.
That's an extreme thing just to get, you know, the recipe for what is essentially a bit of posh cheese and tomato on toast.
Well, again, don't knock it. It's excellent stuff. Now, I want you to start thinking, how would you have obtained their recipe? Because the best thing I came up with was I thought about putting in a mock phone call. When I say a mock phone call, I don't mean like a bomb threat or anything.
Yes.
I mean like phoning them up and saying, I'm babysitting my friend's child, so I would like to order myself one penne alla arrabbiata, but for the child...
Look at you. What do you want?
The listeners can't see you rolling your eyes.
No, honestly, what's going on now?
But I have a child who I have to feed, yeah. And I would like to... he only needs a starter, because he's a small child, so he only needs a starter. So I'd like to order him the bruschetta Bugatti, but...
The award-winning.
But the what should be award-winning bruschetta Bugatti, but he's very allergic to lots of things. So I need you to tell me a detailed list of everything in it, because he's my friend's child and I'm looking after him. He only wants a small portion. I need to know everything that's in it.
Well, I mean, that's a clever way of doing it.
I never went through with this, I should point out. I was close to, but I never went through with it. Now, how would you have got their what should be award-winning recipe?
I think, well, I think I would have probably gone in and pretended to be some sort of you know, food standards agency.
Health and safety, yeah. That's a good one.
So I need to inspect your kitchen. I need to see you prepare some food. I need to make sure all the surfaces are kept clean. You just carry on with what you're doing. I'm just going to stand here and watch, and maybe a little lapel cam to actually record what they're doing.
Now, the fault with that is that you couldn't guarantee that they would be making the bruschetta. you'd just be overseeing whatever they were making at the time.
Well, what you
my
do,
method?
No, no, no. Well, wait for me to get to the end. I mean,
sorry, to continue.
You've presented a problem. I'll present a solution.
Go ahead.
What I would have done is I would have colluded with my wife and got her to make a phone call and order some at the time that you were visiting.
Okay.
To ensure that there was preparation of the, whatever it's called, bruschetta, brigata.
Bugatti.
Bugatti, bruschetta.
Now, you thought my getting a job there was a very extreme
that
method.
That is quite extreme, yeah.
I would suggest your method is more extreme than my simple phone call. My simple phone call of subterfusion lies.
That could have worked. I'll give you that. That could have worked. You could have got away with that.
Would you have fallen for it if you were the restaurant manager and someone phoned up saying, I have an allergic child that I'm looking after. I need to know what's in it.
Probably, because you'd be so frightened, especially a quality restaurant.
Such like as Bugatti's.
Such as that. Oh, it's an amazing place. I've never heard of it, but it's amazing. It's an amazing place. Your reputation would mean so much to you that you wouldn't risk sending out something that would kill your poor little Johnny.
Mm.
Poor little Johnny, who's allergic to so many things. He's quite a weak child. He's frankly pathetic. He's imaginary. Don't look at me like that. He's an imaginary child. I mean, it's not your flesh and blood that I'm talking about. I'd say yes, he is. I'll give you the list of ingredients, but not before I've told you how pathetic this child is, and frankly he needs to man up a little bit.
Well, if anyone can come up with a better way of getting a restaurant to cough up their brilliant recipes, let me know.
I don't know if you remember, a while back on the show, I told you that I'd been caught whilst in a traffic jam with the window down doing a Ronnie Corbett impression, or trying to do a Ronnie Corbett impression, because I'd been listening to the radio and somebody mentioned Barbara Dixon, and I always think that if you're going to do a Ronnie Corbett impression, you need to get Barbara Dixon in there. So, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, Barbara Dixon. So I was basically doing...
Was he from Bristol?
Ronnie Corbett? Well, he travelled a lot, didn't he? So I was doing that, and the window was down, and I didn't realise that I was by a bus stop, and people heard me, and it was all very embarrassing. Right? So
must have been so humiliating.
Well, because I'm in a traffic jam, you can't even move. You know, so you've got a bus stop of people looking at through your window with you going over and over again, and then realising window up. Anyway, my friend this week sent me a text to say, I'm mortified. He's been cycling home from work and he was at traffic lights, and again there was a car that came up next to him, and he was caught doing Yoda impressions. He was on his bike, sort of just going, you're not cycling, I am. Again, a car pulled up, saw him doing it. It's a bit embarrassing, isn't it?
Well, I'm amazed he stopped for a red light. That's a minor miracle in itself, isn't it?
I know, he's one of those rare things, a cyclist who obeys the laws of the road as much as possible.
Jump red light, shall I?
But then this is the same mate who, when we were kids, caught me. Basically, I went to his house, and we were big fans of the film The Mask at the time, the Jim Carrey film. And
The Mask impressions are especially cringy.
Yeah, and we used to do them all the time, you know, smoking and all that kind of stuff. And my mate went to the loo, so I'm standing in his kitchen. I knew that his parents were out, and so I decided out loud, again, I don't know why I decided this, but out loud in somebody else's kitchen, I just started doing Jim Carrey impressions from The Mask. You know, somebody stop me, P-A-R-T-Y, because I got that. And next thing, I realised that he's been to the toilet. I'd been just standing there for so long, and he'd just been watching me.
You were in character.
I was, and he'd just been watching me, and I was mortified, because when he sort of jumped out from behind the door and said, I've been watching you, I was like, oh, God. Oh no, you just seen me do all that. And of course, you know, when you were, I don't know, we were 14, something like 13, 14, I knew you were there.
Yeah.
I knew that I was doing it over the top. I was doing it over the top because I knew you were watching. I was doing all the facial things as well, you know, because I knew you were watching. I didn't really, because I was doing all the facial things. Oh, that was embarrassing. Also, I had another embarrassing thing this week where, you know, when somebody that you know, and they know you through friends who have known you a long time. So there's lots of stories that they know about you that perhaps you wouldn't want certain other people to know. So there's someone in my group of friends who's now one of my friend's fiancé. So I've known her for about 3 years, something like that. Because she's always out with a group of us who've known each other for 20 odd years, there's lots of stories that come out. We tell lots of tales. And now there's actually a mutual place that this person goes to where she's met my brother.
Ooh.
And I got a text from my brother this week. It just went, oh, I've just met your friend. And she just told me this story about you. I was like, what story? It's like, no, it's basically my brother knew this story about me anyway. But I thought, oh God, what else is going to come out?
Do I know this story about you?
I think you probably do. Yeah.
Can you allude to it on the radio? Or is
it involved my brother actually. Yeah, it was the time when I phoned him up from the phone upstairs, pretending to be the police, and they were going to come and interview him.
Oh, another time you told me £1,000.
No. This was the one with the police, and that's a story that I would prefer. I would rather he didn't know that I was telling people about this story. Do you know what I mean? I would rather think that that's consigned to history, that it's something, because it's not something I'm proud of.
Yeah,
because I kept it going even after.
Well, they are broadcasting it now.
Yeah, well, it's too late now, isn't it? The cat's out of the bag. Everyone knows about it now. But I pretended to be the police. They were coming round to interview him on suspicion of, again, I've got to be a bit careful here, but on suspicion of something inappropriate, very inappropriate. And then when he sort of, when my brother came, he said, oh, God, the police are coming. And I said, well, you need to change your hair. I mean, they would look at that hair and just assume that that's what you are. And then you need to change your clothing. I mean, you can't be wearing those. That's the sort of clothing they would wear. And now he sort of knows that everyone knows this story.
I think throughout this show, and I don't know why you've chosen today, but I think that throughout this show you are exposing yourself to be a horrible human being.
I broke myself this week.
You broke yourself? How did you break yourself?
Well, first of all, I'll come clean. I was drunk.
It's not like you, Ben. It's not like you at all.
It's not like me. I'm a very sensible...
What was the occasion?
The occasion, I believe, was Friday.
Oh, well, there's a reason to get drunk then.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I was lying on my back.
Okay. How you earn your money is not my concern.
I was on my back in the middle of the hall.
Thinking of England.
Thinking of England.
Yes.
And I thought, I need to get up. But I thought, okay, how can I get up that is... Not just getting up, but how can I get up with style? How can I get up creatively?
What was it like?
I was very drunk.
Was it like a dance movie? Was anyone there to impress, or was it just you were just doing it for yourself?
No, my lovely lady was there with me.
Oh, that's very nice.
So I was in my head trying to get up with a bit of style.
Oh, and to impress
also
her.
Trying to impress a lady.
Oh, so I'm making your little move.
Absolutely. So what I thought I'd do is I will from the lying on my back position, I will kick my legs backwards over my head, do a backwards roll.
A backwards roll.
And then up on my feet.
Wow.
And that'll impress the ladies.
Yeah, how did that go?
I got about halfway over myself.
Yeah.
Legs akimbo, over my head.
Was your lovely lady at this point impressed already? Was no, she sort of, no?
No, 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 no. She was sort of standing with her arms folded at the edge of the hall, sort of thinking, do I really have to put up with this? At which point, my legs were going over my head, and I was just about to commit to the role, when there was an almighty snap.
Ooh.
I lost my breath and I was instantly winded.
Oh dear.
I was upside down in a sort of winded heap.
Were you sort of curled up? Were your legs still kind of at a 45 degree angle kind of thing?
Oh yes, because my entire being suddenly gave way under the weight of myself.
Were you like a hedgehog in a ball?
I was like a cheap deck chair.
Oh nice.
Folding up on myself.
Okay.
And now I have slight difficulty breathing and a suspected broken rib.
Excellent.
So there's a lesson for you, kids.
Yeah.
Drink isn't cool.
Did your lovely lady come to your aid, come to your rescue?
I think she'd well and truly had enough of me.
So did you go to a doctor? I mean, did you need to see a doctor? Did she call an ambulance for you?
No, I saw my mummy. I saw my mummy who
well, yeah, when, what, at the time?
No, I saw her last night.
Oh, she'd sobered up.
I was well and truly sober by
did
the time.
Did you tell
I
her the truth, or did you say, oh, I was rescuing a puppy from in front of a bus, and I, as I dove in front of the bus, I rolled with the puppy.
No, the problem is that I have no recollection as to my reasoning as to why I was on the floor in the first place.
You don't need a reason to be on the floor when you had a few drinks. The idea is to end up on the floor.
No, but I was honest. I don't lie to my mummy.
Quite right.
I said to her, I was drunk. I was on the floor. I was rolling around and I think I've hurt myself because it hurts to breathe. I think I may have even uttered the words, look at this, before I did it.
Oh, that's great. Well done. I'm very impressed.
So yes, I'm in a lot of pain, struggling to breathe. My mum has decided though it's probably a injured rib, maybe a cracked rib, certainly not a broken. She's assured me it's not broken, otherwise I'd be in a lot of pain.
And your mummy's a health professional.
She's not a doctor, but she's a health professional, and she said, "You'll be fine. Stop complaining about it. You're 25, for God's sake." But no, she's been mummy.
Did she give you a mummy lecture on drink?
She laughed at me.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she laughed at me. Yeah.
One of the most embarrassing things that happened to me after a few beers was I'd been to a party and I was coming back towards Victoria. Me and my friend were on a bus and we were sort of thinking, we're going to get the train, otherwise we've got an hour wait at Victoria to get to East Croydon, because once you pass a certain threshold at Victoria it's an hour before the next one.
Really?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
So we got off the bus and I said to my friend, I said, come on, let's run for it. And I ran across the road, lost my footing, fell, did a kind of triple roll and split my trousers all the way from back to front.
And then, that's fantastic.
And then had to get on the train sort of cross-legged so that nobody could see any, you know, boys from the barracks sort of thing. It was
where were your pants?
I was going, come on. No, I wasn't but you know, sometimes when you're wearing boxers, things fall out. It's an occupational hazard of the boxer.
You're a big boy,
which is now why I wear, you know, proper trunk type things. This week I went to a friend's leaving party on Thursday night. Okay, she's got a new job and she's moving on. So we went for a lovely evening. And it was just me, her, and one other person left at the end of the night. So we finished up our drinks when we were politely asked to leave. And we thought, well, we both kind of live quite near each other. We can get to Brixton on the tube and then we can both get separate buses home.
Okay.
Okay, so we were in Vauxhall, got on the tube, and we were very busy just chatting away about life.
Nice.
Love. The world. Right? We're just chatting away. And we thought, well, we seem to have been at a station for a very long time. And then the tube started moving. Hmm. We said, we must have been stuck at Victoria for all. Then I said, I don't think we go to Victoria this way. We'd actually got to Brixton. And we didn't know. We'd been sitting there talking while we were at Brixton. And then the tube was going back in the other direction. So we ended it back at Vauxhall, where we started.
Neither of you realised.
Neither of us realised until we were moving again. We sort of had this conversation about, are we on our way to Brixton? I said, no, I'm sure, actually, perhaps we've just been to Brixton and we ended up back at Vauxhall.
You didn't.
We did.
You idiot.
And we managed to get the last tube back to Brixton.
Could you just sit on the same tube and stay there as
we
went back?
Yeah, we did. Oh, no, we had to get off at Vauxhall.
Why?
Well, because otherwise we would have ended up in Walthamstow.
I mean, fair enough.
As much as we were on an adventure, that wouldn't have been the adventure I wanted.
No adventure ends in Walthamstow.
No. So anyway, we did feel a bit silly.
I can imagine.
But we were so deep in conversation.
Was this... you said it was a lovely lady, did she?
It was a lovely lady.
This wasn't you putting the moves on. Oh, whoops, we've missed our station. Yeah. Oh, we'll have to stay together.
What happened was I was on the floor and I was saying, look at this, watch this. And by the time I'd managed to roll myself backwards, we were on the move again.
I tell you what, that really is... Have you ever had a single defining moment in your life where you think suddenly, yep, I'm an old man now? Hearing my back snapping as I rolled over, that was mine.
Mind you, you do make a lot of noise as a physical being. I mean,
what the hell does that mean?
It's like sitting next to a cricket. You're always clicking and clacking.
I wonder if I can click for the...
Oh, please don't. It's horrible. It's horrible.
Here we go.
Oh, Ben! That's horrible.
Yeah, it's all right. It's perfectly natural.
It's not. You see, surely your mother always told you if you do that, you get arthritis.
And I believe that. But then I saw an episode of QI where they dispelled that. They said that someone's mother told them about mustn't click your fingers because you get arthritis. So for the rest of his life, he clicked the fingers on one hand and then on his deathbed cursed his lying mother.
The thing is, he was on his deathbed at 33.
I had to come in on the bus this morning.
Again?
Yeah, I said I've got a car away.
It's been months now. Can you not just pay for it to be fixed?
I can't afford that. I've got to sort it out myself on the cheapest way possible.
You probably paid for it in bus fare.
Well, that's why this week I ended up at a car breaker's yard. Oh, now, I've never been to one of those places before. That was a whole new experience for
me. I know.
Me.
It's like where cars go to die.
I know. And we had to go a long way out. It was out near Gatwick somewhere. And they told us before we went that, we've got the part you need. As long as you can take it from the car yourself. We've got a couple in the yard. So we drive all that way, right? We're walking around. Now, I didn't know what the deal was at a breaker's yard. I've never been to one. You can just go around and take off what you want. And then on the way out, you pay. It's an extraordinary thing. I find that amazing. Why can't they just... I mean, what's happening with all those parts? Can't they just give them away?
I think that's how they make their money.
Oh, right. Anyway, we get there, find one of the cars, very similar to mine. Hasn't got the bit we need. Wasted journey. All that way for nothing. And they told us on the phone. Oh, I was furious.
You see, this is why I'm suggesting just pay for it to be fixed. Wasted energy, time, petrol, effort. I bet it was a week. Was it a weekend? Saturday?
Was it a weekend? It's like Will Smith has popped in for a chat. No, it was Monday afternoon. I actually had to put some work on hold to go.
Do you not value your own time?
I do value my own time, but I value, a deal, a bargain.
That's the point of money, is to pay for stuff that you can't be bothered to do.
Well, it didn't work out for me anyway. So I said I've got a car.
Rummaging around some old breaker's yard like stick of the dump on your Monday.
Well, apparently I didn't go to these other ones, but because my dad's obviously taken up the mantle of fixing the car now, because it's beyond any of my knowledge base.
Two of the Smith family involved in this now.
So I think on the next day he went to about three breaker's yards. He told me he climbed up on sort of three cars on top of each other. It's incredibly dangerous.
Oh, he's a trooper, isn't he?
Didn't find one.
No.
I had a right go at him. Couldn't you? There was four cars. Risk your life. Go a bit higher.
Climb every mountain.
So anyway, I'm on the bus this morning. Now, this is a weird thing I've not noticed before. There's been a few times, because the one thing I don't like about going on the bus these days is they don't accept any cash, do they?
Not anymore.
I'm sort of for that. It's sort of quick, I suppose. But it's really annoying if you've not got any money on your Oyster, and let's say you haven't got a credit card or something, right? You can't get on the bus.
That's right.
And that's happened to me a couple of times, and I've been furious about it.
Always be prepared.
I know. And there was a man this morning. I got on. Luckily, I'm more clued up these days. Always make sure there's money on the Oyster card.
Streetwise.
Yeah. I learned my lesson. And so I get on that. I'm fine. I'm speeding through. I've got my card ready.
Yeah.
Even before the bus has arrived, it's out.
Excellent.
So all I have to do, I don't even stop. Do you know what I mean? I get on, swipe, move, swipe and move. You remember that? It's swipe and move. It's not climb on bus, stop, find card, swipe, put back in bag, move. Swipe and move.
Love it.
Swipe and move.
That's the new ad slogan.
I think it should be. And this man gets on behind me and he has that dreadful noise. That dreadful noise in the red light.
Ooh.
And sometimes it does that on purpose, and then you do it again, it's fine. It's sort of that moment where it just likes to give you the willies a little bit.
Do you think?
I almost said another word then.
Yeah, I know, be careful.
Gives you the willies a little bit, and you go, oh, I can't, this means I'm going to have to get off the bus.
Yeah.
And the man just sort of went, oh, I mean, can I just go to Croydon anyway? And the bus driver was sort of talking to him, and I thought, he's going to tell him to get off, because that's what happened to me. No, you've got to get off now. And the bus driver seemed to give him a bit of a lecture about making sure there's money, and then let him on.
No.
He got a free ride into Croydon. I thought, twice I think I've had to get off the bus. I thought all I had to do was just say, can I just go anyway? Is that the way it works now?
If you must be.
If you can't pay, just like, yeah, you just go on for free.
I had sort of the opposite problem once. I got on a bus with a fiver. Now, a fiver isn't the biggest note in the world. It's, in fact, the smallest note that you can get in this country. I got on the bus with a £5 note.
Well, I don't like that.
In the days where they could still take cash. Yeah. And he said, I can't change that.
Yeah. Hasn't your friend got a terrible phrase like this?
He's not my friend, for a start.
Well, you say that.
I do know someone who drives a bus for Aviva. Not Aviva. because that's not a bus Aviva company. Who am I thinking of? Arriva.
Arriva. Arriva ain't getting you to Las Vegas. It's not happening.
So, my acquaintance drives the bus.
He's just an acquaintance now.
For Arriva. And he once had a person get on with a fiver.
Yeah.
And he said, the side of my bus says Arriva, not Bank of England.
Oh, I don't condone violence, but do you know what I mean? Just a little glance to the side of the face. That's all it would need.
Hear him once.
Did you?
I genuinely did.
Again, wouldn't condone it, but well done. I hope you caused some lasting damage.
I did thump him once.
Why? What did he do?
He tried to put his cigarette out on my arm.
That's quite nasty, isn't it?
It was nasty. It was in the days where
this man is getting nastier and nastier. I don't like him at all.
It was in the days where you could smoke in the pub, and he, for some reason, thought he would antagonise me.
Yes? Did you say, it doesn't say ashtray on the side, does it? It's a human body. So, I don't know why you've got that tattooed on you, by the way.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice. So, no, he rubbed a cigarette out on my arm once, so I smacked him in the face.
Well done.
Yeah. That's the only violent outburst I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, was there damage? Was there any blood? I mean, how hard did you hit him?
He did complain afterwards. He was saying about...
Where did you hit him? Face?
In the face, yeah.
Hit him in the face?
Yeah.
Was it just a reaction, or did you...
It was. It was someone is putting a cigarette out on my arm, and it was just...
Self-preservation is what that is.
Just absolutely thumbed him.
Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
What was my original point? Yes, I got a bus with a £5 note.
Oh, yes, they had
that. And a similar, not him, but a similar bus driver with a problem with £5 notes sort of said, well, I can't change that. And I sort of thought, well, I have got the money, so I'm sort of staying on the bus, mate.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. And he just said, okay, get on, and if I get change by the time you get to your destination, pay me at the end.
Yeah, did he?
No.
See, you've had a free ride. Everyone's getting a free ride in this life, but not Trev. Oh, no, I have to pay for everything.
In my defence, I did try and pay him. I did have the money and was willing to pay. He just wasn't competent enough to accept it.
Mind you,
not my fault.
You see, I remember back in the day when bus travel was very cheap. Do you know what I mean? For a kid, I think it was about 15p, something like that. Very cheap. And they were, even then in the days of pound notes, Ben, they were a bit fussy about taking notes. Do you know what I mean? They didn't like that.
That's why we have unions.
But once they started to sort of charge you a fortune for getting on a bus, they'd have enough pound coins and big change to give you change. If you're going on a 50-pound note, fair enough. I have a bit of a problem with that, but not a fiver.
No.
Drives me insane. The other thing that drives me insane, I feel bad about this morning, because I had plenty of time. I wasn't in a major rush. The bus is early. I've got plenty of time to get here. But we stopped at one bus stop, and there was a... I don't like to have a go, but there was an elderly lady, Ben, sort of, I would guess, in her 70s. And, she took ages. Oh, Ben.
You should have taken a leaf out of my book.
Well, she wasn't doing the swipe and move, Ben. She wasn't doing that. There was none of... She wasn't even on the bus before she was searching in her bag for about 5 minutes. The bus driver was very patient. I mean, he's letting people on for free. Why? He's messing up while she's trying to find her pensioner's pass. Just let her on. Just get her on and get her sat down, for God's sake. Right? And she took ages, and she's talking to herself out loud. She's going, oh, dear, where is it? I know I had it here.
Oh.
And I'm sorry, but age is no excuse.
No, it isn't, because...
Have that ready.
You know you're at a bus stop.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
You know a bus is coming. Have it ready.
Yeah,
no excuse.
We're never getting a job on Saga Radio, but for God's sake. So this week, I was sorting out some stuff in my house to send off to a jumble sale, right? I had loads of junk, to be honest, that I needed to get rid of. So I found these people that were doing a jumble sale, and they came to pick it up on Thursday night. Boxes and boxes of stuff, right? And I had a few sort of old chairs I didn't want, right? And honestly, they came in my house and were looking around like it was some shop, and they went, no, we don't want those. We won't take those. What do you mean you won't take them? It's a jumble sale. That's jumble. Sell it.
This is prime jumble.
Yes. People would give their arm and leg for jumble like that.
So they were basically wandering through our house deciding what wouldn't sell.
Yeah. I thought the idea of a jumble sale is you took any of my old tat and sold it.
Did they grab your computer on the way out as well?
No, that wasn't good enough for them anyway. Apparently a Spectrum doesn't sell anymore.
Oh.
So I was a little bit disappointed by it. Otherwise, you can't get snooty about a jumble sale, can you?
So were you just giving it away, or were you asking any money?
No, just have it. I just need to clear some stuff from the house.
So how did you find these people?
They were friends of my mum's.
Oh, okay. So you
friends of my mum's run a jumble sale.
Oh, you didn't find them on the internet or anything?
No, they came around, they took all this stuff, and they didn't want the chairs. I thought, blimey, how picky are you?
mean, no.
Have something to sit on while you're doing your jumble sale.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, a friend of mine came round on Friday night and saw one of the chairs and she wants it. So all's well that ends well. But I still have two wooden chairs painted yellow, if anyone's interested. They're yours.
It's an on-air jumble sale, is it?
Why not? We could start our own like swap shop. You can have two wooden chairs.
Great.
And all I'm asking is a new three-piece suite. I used to hate jumbles. When I was younger in the Cubs, we used to have a jumble sale every year. Oh, I used to dread it. Right. A, because my parents would go out and do all the collecting. So for days, the phone would never stop ringing with people saying, "Nyah, and got me some jumble."
Sex offenders call the house.
Well, jumble sale people are weird. They're like car boot people. They're odd. Very odd people.
Okay.
So that, I've got jumble.
Hope your parents' friends aren't listening.
I hope not. They'll be too busy looking at tat. And
tat with an A, is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's what I do. I do the other. And I used to dread it. And then on the day of the jumble sale, we'd have to get there early and put all this rubbish out. And it would have that smell, you know, that kind of musty smell.
I can lend you some Febreze if you want.
Yes, please do. Do you know, I really can't breathe properly after you spray that. Terrible. And then they, as the Cubs, we'd all have to man one of the stalls. And then you'd get these sort of mad old biddies that would turn up wanting to buy a blouse that, you know, wasn't any good to anyone. And you go, oh, that's 10p. And they go, I'll give you 7p. All right. 3p. Is that really going to make a difference? And there was this one woman who'd turn up every year. And I used to call her the grunty woman because she would walk around going, She was more like half woman, half sheep, because she always wore this big kind of fur jacket, and she'd like bar. She'd go around going, nah. And she'd always come to. I was always ended up on the clothing stall, and she'd come around. She'd stand and she'd go, nah, nah, how much for that? Nah. And I'd say, well,
very strange.
It's like 25p. She'd go, I'll give you 5p. Well, I can't really take 5p. I'm 10. And it's like, oh, for God's sake, just have it. Take it. Go buy some rubbish over there. Oh, I used to hate it.
So you weren't really on board with the jumble sale format?
Not really. No. No.
You like to barter with the lunatics?
Oh, I used to hate it. Every year, I mean, when I left the Cubs, it was like when they said to you, oh, do you want to go up to Scouts? Does that mean doing the jumble? Yes. No, I'm not interested. I'm done with this. Oh, so I hated Cubs anyway.
I was in the Beavers.
Oh, I was one of the first Beavers.
I didn't like it.
I hated it as well.
Yeah, I left.
Did you?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm still an honorary member, but I became an honorary member of HMS Beaver.
Ridiculous.
I don't know.
I dread to ask, what's that?
It was a Navy ship. I loved it. Oh, the certificate that said you are an honorary crew member.
I can't breathe.
Of HMS Beaver. God bless all who sailed in her.
Well, there we are. That's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed our trip down Trevor and Ben memory lane. Don't forget, you can contact us on Twitter. We're at Trevor and Ben. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. And hopefully we'll be back to normal next week with a brand new podcast. Look after yourself and stay safe. Bye.